Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest picks his television projects well. Martin Starr has been a part of some of the best television of this generation. He's played a sarcastic caterer, Robin DeBeers, on the Starz comedy Party Down, and he just wrapped up season 3 of HBO's Silicon Valley, in which he plays Guilfoyle, a computer programmer with Pied Piper. And, of course, he played Bill.
I don't want to go.
Why not? Everyone wants to go to a makeup party.
It's a makeup party?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to French kiss Cindy, are you, Sam? French kissing is gross. I wouldn't French kiss in a million years.
And why the hell not?
Hello, germs, spit, mucus, old bits of food. That's just to name a couple. There's a lot of things in there.
That was a clip from the cult favorite Freaks and Geeks. Martin Starr has pioneered a new genre in geek chic, starring on the shows above, but also in movies like Knocked Up, Adventureland, and Superbad. And just this month, it was announced that Starr has joined the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming, set to come out next year. Martin Starr joins us now on the Download. Martin, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me here in Chicago.
Let's talk about Silicon Valley, wrapped up its third season. Congratulations on that. A tremendous ensemble. You know, a lot of great Chicagoans on that show, T.J. Miller, Kumail, Tom Middleditch, people that we've known through have come up through the ranks here in Chicago. For you to be involved in a show like Silicon Valley, what makes a great ensemble?
Team players are very necessary. So I think it's a really good thing that we all get along so well and we all really want each other to do their best. It makes for a really good environment for creativity.
Do you find yourself gravitating towards scripts and projects that are going to be more ensemble-based, or is that something that just plays out once you get to set?
I think I've just gotten really fortunate to be a part of some really great ensemble TV, for sure, and movies as well. But, you know, Freaks and Geeks and Party Down and now Silicon Valley have all had really incredible casts. I mean, I think everyone on those shows were completely and are, you know, very talented individuals, but also the fact that we all got along so well and we happened to be, you know, like-minded in what we wanted out of the opportunities we have, out of acting, out of creating. I think there's a like-mindedness in all three scenarios where, you know, we all really love to perform and love the experience, so we wanted everyone else to do their best as well. You know, it wasn't really competitive in a way that was detrimental to the creative process.
Well, for you, I mean, you've played such great characters in those ensembles. Guilfoyle is a perfect example of that. Roman on Party Down, and of course, Bill, all of which are in the same vein of this sort of deadpan, sarcastic approach. How different are those characters from the real Martin Starr?
I mean, there's a little bit of me in everything I do, so hopefully I'm not as miserable as some of the characters I've played, but I think I'm a lot happier guy. I tend to smile a lot more in real life, so that's a difference already.
For you, I mean, being 16 years old when you started on Freaks and Geeks, talk about that experience, about being able to bring that kind of character, to bring Bill to life at such a young age.
It was really the first time that I had an opportunity to sink my teeth into a character that, you know, that was that I got that much to play with, that was that involved and in depth. You know, I think the most I had really done up until that point, you know, the characters that I played with were all in class and in the improv classes that I took growing up and that kind of stuff. So it was a lot different going in every week and kind of playing in this voice. I really lucked out, you know, not only to bring to life someone who I think there's a lot of heart in that character, mm-hmm. and in the show in general, there's so much. But I tend to find that the people who connected with that show and that character in particular, you know, have, you know, a deep sensitivity that connected with him specifically.
Are you surprised that fans of that show and people have connected with that, even, you know, as we think about it now, to almost, you know, 15, 16 years later, at the level in which they did? I mean, to be a cult favorite, Freaks and Geeks, is pretty remarkable.
There are so many things that I think are not fully appreciated, you know, at their time. The Big Lebowski was considered a failure at the time that it was released. You know, I think we got lucky to be able to make the show all the way through. I think that's quite a fortunate scenario for us because they, at the time, the guy who was pressing the buttons and making the decisions didn't really even want us to make 18 episodes, which we ended up doing. It really, you know, Judd and Paul were very aware that we were going to get canceled any second. So we were lucky to even get out one full season.
For you to be 16 years old on that show, surrounded by, you know, the ensemble that was on that show that have, you know, moved on and done great things as well. And like you just mentioned, Paul and Judd, talk about that almost being as your training. I mean, you're training to be able to take your work to the next level. What was that experience like to be around such creative people? And what did it, how did it inform you as you moved into adulthood as an actor?
The people on that show, I learned a lot from in so many ways. I think, you know, fundamentally as a human being, I mean, I was 16, I was very impressionable. And I learned a lot about, you know, what it was to be a man and to grow up, you know, in ways that I hadn't yet, even though I'd been around a lot of adults. I think there were some ways in which I was an adult already and other ways that I really needed to figure things out. And I was allowed that there. But also being a part of, like, you know, these really wonderfully written, beautifully, like, landscaped, well-cast shows, to have been a part of those has really helped me in the way that I kind of structure writing now. I've been working on, you know, writing my own TV, and it's really given me, it's given me a lot of lessons in how to do it. Not to say that in any way I can do it as well as they did, but I will certainly try.
As, you know, an actor and writer in Hollywood, do you find yourself having to fit into one category? Can you be a successful writer if you're also a successful actor or director? Talk about the relationship between writing your own stuff and acting in Hollywood.
It's now kind of an imperative. When I was growing up, it wasn't really. You know, I think the last generation of just comedic actors came just before me. Like, Jim Carrey was probably the last, mm-hmm. You know, he works just as an actor for the most part, but the people that come after, like Seth, you know, creates and generates his own work. I think Judd, that's also part of the principles that Judd bestowed upon everyone around him. You see Jason doing it, Franco doing it. He saw that as an imperative in being able to control what you do.
Was that something when you were younger that you recognized you wanted to do, to write your own material? Or is that something that you learned from working with Judd and the actors around you?
It's definitely something that I saw more in Judd. I always liked to write, but it wasn't necessarily in storytelling and scripts. I would write my own silly little short stories or whatever, but it wasn't really in the form of script writing. And so channeling that energy into this has been really fun for me.
One thing that I love about your career is you've been able to balance regular work on television, even mainstream television, showing up in spots, you know, at sitcoms, things like that, with a career where you're doing a lot of independent work. You're doing short films, you know, it seems like every other year, you know, you're showing up with a project at Sundance or the independent film festivals. Talk about how you do that. How are you able to craft time to be able to be an actor in those mainstream projects and have projects on the side?
There's a lot of time in the year. And in Silicon Valley, we only shoot 4 months out of the year, so we get a lot done in a short amount of time, and or maybe even 3 months, but right around there. It gives me a lot of time to do the other things that I want to do, and fortunately, those opportunities are there, so I'm lucky to be able to do those things.
Is it important to you to be able to balance those things? Is not to just sort of go out and try to be in whatever, you know, CBS sitcom it is at the time, or to balance it with your own projects, or something that you want to stretch yourself artistically?
I've been pushing myself more to work with my writing partner, Matt Bush. We have been writing together for a while. So that's what I try to spend my time doing when I'm not working on a movie during the summer or I'm working on Silicon Valley.
What was it like? I mean, for you, you've worked with such tremendous, you know, visionaries when you talk about Judd Apatow, but now you're working with Mike Judge. Talk about what you've learned from working on Silicon Valley that you didn't know before.
How different genius comedic minds can be. It's, I mean, not only with the cast, who I think are all incredibly talented, but to see the difference between, like, Mike Judge and Alec Berg, who are both
right.
Absolutely genius in the way that they create comedy in their own brains and lay that out in a script or, you know, for people to perform. They're both so different. They're kind of opposites in some ways. So for me, it's been really unique here to be able to see them. I suppose there was something similar. There was a similar relationship between Judd and Paul, in some ways similar and in other ways polar opposites. I just was so young at that point, I don't think I was recognizing the process. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the big news this month is that you signed on for Spider-Man Homecoming, the big Marvel movie next summer. You know, that's a new experience for you as well, working in sort of blockbuster movies. Are you excited about branching out into doing something in that realm as opposed to the projects you've done in the past?
One of the things that excited me from the beginning was that John Daly, who was also on Freaks and Geeks, wrote it. So there's I'm excited about this group of people. They're all immensely talented that are working on it. So it's definitely fun. The movie's called Spider-Man, so it's about it's clear that it's about one particular guy. Right. I'm not that guy. So
you're not that guy.
Don't get your hopes up about how much I'm in the movie. But
I'm
definitely enjoying the process.
We'll throw viewing parties here in Chicago for you.
I think if you edit it down to just my parts.
Yeah, right. We could do that. More. Well, what I love about we've talked to actors and writers before, and one of the things that always seems to pull out of the conversation is relationships. And in your case, I mean, you've mentioned some of the people, even the Spider-Man writer, and talking about your relationship with Judd and the projects you've done since Freaks and Geeks. Talk about how important it is to have good relationships as a comedic actor and writer in Hollywood.
For so many reasons, it's important. I mean, being friends with people that you want to work with and that you love and want to see succeed and likewise want the same for you is especially vital, I suppose, in a creative environment that's so riddled with negativity and focus that isn't around the creative process. It's around the financial stream of income that comes because of the creative process. So, having the right people around you to help you focus on what's important and remind you what's important is really valuable.
Martin Starr just wrapped up season 3 of Silicon Valley on HBO, playing the character Guilfoyle. Martin, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me here in Chicago.